the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Amen. All right, so I'm going to start off with a nice little story. It's a story that's about 10 years old from the early days of my marriage. I can tell it because it's mostly my fault, and my wife's not here. So, in our very first year of marriage, probably within the first couple months of marriage, we decided to try a new recipe. It was probably a recipe that my wife found because she was always trying to find things that I liked, and I'm a big fan of Asian food. And so, we were both working at the time, and that was back when there was just one child, and way back. And so we decided we were going to do this crock pot recipe. And it was this Asian chicken, sounded wonderful, only a couple of ingredients, throw a couple pieces of chicken in the crock pot, put some soy sauce, put some pineapple. One, it was teriyaki chicken. Okay, so sounded wonderful, sounded simple, sounded easy. Okay, so we put all this in the crock pot, set it appropriately, follow the recipe. I can cook, I can follow a recipe, this is easy. Set it, leave, come back later on that day, having finished a long day at work, ready to have our wonderful Asian feast. And this was the foulest looking product ever. I mean, you know how when you slow cook chicken, eventually it shreds and it just becomes thin little, like almost like pulled pork. It becomes like shredded chicken. Well, it becomes shredded chicken. But somehow the soy sauce had intensified and spread, and everything about this had become black. Pitch black, not burnt, because nothing was burnt, but everything in this whole white crock pot was pitch black. And aside from having this appearance of shredded something, there were these bits of pineapple that were black. So, I mean, this looked like 70-year-old goat that had been stewed in, like, skunk juices. I mean, this was foul. I mean, we walked into the house and we were like, I didn't quite expect it to smell like that. And we open up the lid, and, you know, of course, the lights aren't on, and we came home and it was a little dark, and we pull off the lid and turn on the lights, and it was like, oh! And Liz is like, oh, well, let's order pizza. I'm like, wait. And only one thing kept this from going directly into the trash. I was cheap. Okay? That was a lot of chicken. It had taken a lot of time. I was at least going to taste it. And you know what was remarkable? It actually tasted good. As horrible as it looked, it tasted fine. Now, getting my wife to taste it was another thing. When I finally managed to get her to taste it, she agreed it was tasty. I mean, we had to sort of dim the lights and sort of make-believe. Getting Megan to taste it was almost impossible. It involved a lot of threatening and a little bit of yelling, but we didn't really get her. She, you know, I got a stomachache. I'm really hungry. So, but we eventually ate some of it. Now, granted, we didn't keep any leftovers, but we did at least get one small meal out of this. It tasted fine, but it looked horrible. And the fact that it looked so bad meant that it didn't really matter that it was tasty. We didn't want to eat it. All right, now, keep that story in mind. Put it in your back pocket. We're going to go back to it. All right? Now, today is the Feast of Corpus Christi. It's one of my favorite feasts of the year. It is the feast where we take special time to commemorate the body and blood of Christ. Corpus Christi is the Latin phrase that means the body of Christ. Okay? It is the time where we commemorate Jesus saying, I am going to give you my own body and my own blood. And that will be food and drink for you. It will be sustenance for you. It will be life-giving and life-sustaining for you. Now, we do this on Monday, Thursday during Holy Week, but that's got so many other things going on. We don't take the time to focus on the incredible, mysterious, amazing event that happens when Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, gives it to his disciples, says, this is my body, which is given for you. Takes the cup and says, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you. We don't just take time and think about that. We're thinking about the washing of the feet of the disciples, the being handed over. We're thinking about all the other things that are going on that night, going into Good Friday and the Passion and Easter coming up. We don't really think about all that. So today is the time that we just think about how Jesus gives us himself in this miraculous way. Now, of course, he gave us himself when he became incarnate, when he came down from heaven and was born of the Virgin Mary. Of course, he gave us himself when he spent his whole life ministering to us, especially in the last 3 years when he was ministering to everyone in Judea and Jerusalem and in Galilee and in the broader area in his lifetime on earth. And then ultimately when he sacrificed his life on the cross. Yes, he gave of himself that way. But he continues to give of himself 2,000 years later. Every time that we gather around the altar, every time we partake of his body and blood, he continues to give of himself in a way that's even, in a sense, more humble. Because now he's not coming in the form of a baby. See, everybody loves babies. Now he's giving of himself in the form of bread and wine. An even more humble form. This is a way that people have maligned and belittled for centuries. But the Eucharist has been called, and people have also argued about this for almost as long as it's been said, the Eucharist has been called the central act of Christian worship. The central act of Christian worship. Not reading scripture, not praise and worship, not any of these other things, not even prayer, but the Eucharist. Because Eucharist encompasses all of those things. Because Eucharist involves prayer. Eucharist involves praise and worship. Eucharist involves reading of scripture. Eucharist encompasses all of that. Oh, what about evangelism? I mean, there's the Great Commission. Go ye into all parts of the world. Baptizing in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's true. That, after all, is the Great Commission. And obviously, because it's the Great Commission, it's pretty darned important. But as we heard in the Gospel today, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. But he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, I will raise up in the last day." Now, he didn't say, unless you go into all parts of the nation and preach the gospel, I will raise you up in the last day. Which I'm very grateful for, because I really have very little desire to go into all parts of the nations. As a priest, this is very, very important to me. And I've talked about this so much that I think some of you are probably getting ready to go, okay, here's how this sermon goes. Okay? But I want you to keep in mind that there are people who say, look, this isn't true. This is a metaphor. Okay? This is just a memorial meal. Okay? Well, when Jesus said it the first time, people who had been following him for years turned around and left. Said, this is a hard saying. We're out of here. Who leaves over a metaphor? Okay? You know, you think at the Last Supper, somebody was, you know, Jesus held up the bread and said, this is my body, and this is my blood. And Judas was like, he's being figurative, you know. Or maybe Thomas was sitting there going, I doubt that. It's a cheap shot on Thomas. I really like Thomas. It's really unfair to blame him all the time. But I read something this week. Romans 3, verses 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? Asks Paul. He's asking about a different context. But there are some people who say, you know what? I know there's a whole bunch of crazy people who say that's actually the body and blood of Jesus, but they're wrong. This is just a metaphor. It's a memorial meal. They're out of their mind. Clearly, I don't even know if that's actually bread, okay? Much less the body of Christ. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. You think when Jesus said, this is my body, you think if every one of those apostles didn't know what he meant, didn't understand what he meant, thought that he was speaking figuratively, we're like, okay, whatever. That it wasn't actually what he said. Let every man be a liar. And God is still true. It doesn't matter what we think, what we believe. God is still true. This is the great thing about being in the CEC. We can be scriptural literalists. We can say, it says it in the Bible. And that means it's true. Not just in the zany weird places in like Revelations where no, there's going to be like locusts with scorpion tails stinging people and 70 years of torment. But also in the places where it says, no, this is my body and this is my blood. But how? Because we're sacramentalists too. Because we believe in the altar. But how? Because we're also charismatics and we believe in the Holy Spirit. And we believe that when the priest stands up there and says, send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may become the body and blood of Jesus, the holy food and drink of new and unending life, that the Holy Spirit does. Amen. And that's a miracle. Amen. That's what's great about this church, this denomination. That's what a lot of other people miss. So, as a priest, Corpus Christi is really important to me because the Eucharist is one of my principal roles. It's my privilege. There's 8,000 churches in Jacksonville, which means there's probably like 24,000 pastors in Jacksonville, okay? But not half of those guys are actually priests, okay? The thing that separates pastors from priests, we get to celebrate the Eucharist. We get to hear confessions. We get to do all these sacramental things. That's really, really significant. But just because I'm a priest doesn't mean you're not. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9 calls you a holy priesthood and a royal priesthood. Revelation 5:9 says that God, the angels say, are praising God and saying, you have redeemed from every nation, tribe, kingdom on the earth, a kingdom and made us kings and priests to worship our God. And then Romans 12:1. Okay. Therefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual duty. And one translation says, this is your priestly offering. Okay? Now, and I've talked about this before, and this is absolutely vital, okay? This is what makes this essential. This is so important. This is what I will feel content if when you leave this place, you understand about the Eucharist. The priest stands at the altar and he lifts up the bread and the wine beforehand. And using prayers that go back to the very first Passover, he says, quietly, before everything gets started, when we're first doing the offertory, he says, blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. By goodness we have this bread to offer, fruit of the earth which human hands have made. By your goodness it will become the body of Christ. And then he takes the wine and he lifts it up and he says, blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. By your goodness we have this wine to offer, fruit of the vine which human hands have made. It will become for us the blood of Christ. And he sets it down. And then during the Eucharist, he prays for them, and they become the blood of Christ. Okay. But as we start the Eucharistic prayer, he's already lifted up the bread and the wine, and he's prayed that God changes them to the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. But the first thing that we pray as a congregation together, the priest says, lift up your hearts. Yes, the priest is lifting up bread and wine and saying, change these to the body and blood. You are lifting up your hearts. The priest is saying, change this bread and wine, and you are saying, change my heart. The priest is saying, change this bread and this wine into the body and blood of Christ so that I can give it to the people. The people are saying, change my heart. Take what's wrong with me. Take my fallen, sinful nature and trade it. Take what's wrong with me and give me what's right in you. I want your divinity, your excellency, your grace, your mercy, your forgivingness. your love, all those things that I don't have, trade you, which is a horrible deal if you're God, but an amazing deal if you're us. Take all my bad stuff and give me all your good stuff. Take my heart and give me all of the glory that you have. That's what's amazing about this altar. That is why the Eucharist is the central act of Christian worship. Because this is where we exchange our lives. This is where we get the empowerment to go out and do all those other things we're supposed to do. This is where we have the wherewithal to go off and preach, the endurance to press into Scripture, the fortitude to pray for people who persecute us, to people who don't love us, to people who are mean to us. This is where we get the stamina to forgive others. Because we come to the altar, we hear the stories of what Jesus has done. We hear the stories of how God laid the groundwork all the way back in Genesis, all the way up to Revelation, in the 3-year cycle of Scripture, where we get the whole story of salvation over and over and over again. And then we come and we receive his body over and over and over again. Because you can never get enough. Now, there are two natures of the body of Christ that I want to talk about. The first is that which we receive at the altar. Okay? I've already talked about that. That's what I was just celebrating. No pun intended. Maybe a little bit. This is what we all know and understand. This is what we rejoice in. This is why many of us come to a liturgical church, why many of us can't go to a non-liturgical church. This is why some people, when they go to a non-liturgical church, they're just like, well, gosh, I wish I would have gone to church this morning. You know, sometimes it's good to, you know, if you're sick or traveling, you put on the television in the morning and you hear a really good sermon, and you're like, well, that was entertaining, maybe informational or educational, but it wasn't like you went to church because you didn't get communion. You didn't receive the Eucharist. It wasn't the same thing. Okay? But there's a second. In order to get that, I want to look at our reading from Corinthians. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. This is one of those you are what you eat kind of things. Or the more you behold, the more you become. The more you surround yourself with something, the more you become that thing. The more you consume Jesus, the more you become like Jesus. The body which we consume, we are. We are the body of Christ. You know, Scripture talks about the body of Christ as Jesus saying, "This is my body." But it also talks about the body of Christ as the assembled group of believers. We are the body of Christ. You know, I talked about my priestly role at the altar and our priestly role. I have an obligation, a liturgical duty to present the bread to you. You have an obligation, a liturgical duty to present the bread to the world. Because you are the bread. You are the body. You go places that we cannot. You go into your workplace. You travel into places that we cannot. And you are the body, and you present that body into all sorts of different places. Now, what kind of bread are we offering? Are we offering really good, warm, wonderful bread? Have you ever been to one of those restaurants that you get there and they have this wonderful, amazing bread on there that's like just melts in your mouth and you're like, oh, thank you, Lord. And it's just amazing. And you go to another restaurant and they set the bread out on the table and you're like, I'm sorry, I didn't ask for pretzels. All right. What is this, crackers? We are offering the bread, the body of Christ, to the world. And it's us. How are we doing that? Are we offering them something that's savory? Something that's pleasant? Something that's wonderful? Something that they want to eat? Or are we offering them hardtack? What about that crockpot chicken? Didn't think I'd get back there, did you? Seriously. Many of us know that the content is tasty. It's better than tasty. It's salvation. It's the alternative to hellfire and damnation. But if it looks like stewed skunk meat, who wants it? When somebody is hurting, when somebody's hungry, man, they got to be darn hungry before you show them a plate of that with a smile on your face and they're like, I got something in the fridge. What are we offering them?
That's it, amen.
How do we present ourselves?
Amen.
Because we are presenting ourselves. The Eucharist is evangelical in the sense that we are taking ourselves out and evangelizing the world because we are the body of Christ. When we say, send us out into the world, we're carrying the body of Christ out. I may, along with Father Ed and Father Lon and Bruce and John, I had to look over and see who the acolytes were. Mind blank. There goes my flow. All right. I may end up serving communion to each and every one of you. I may serve you the body. But you're going to serve it to everyone. You're called to give that body to the world. You got to make sure that you're presenting something that's savory and delicious and something that they want to eat.
Amen.
You can't be something that makes people want to turn away. I call upon each of us to examine our hearts, examine our conscience, really do one of those searching inventories and look at our hearts, look at our lives, look at our consciences, look at our social media. Are we driving people away from the altar? Are we drawing them to the table of the Lord? Because I may be the one in the funny white robe, but in the last day, we're all going to be clothed in white.
Amen.
And we're all a kingdom of priests to our God.
Amen.
And I serve communion today, but all of us have an obligation to carry forth the body of Christ.
Amen.
And Corpus Christi isn't just a feast for me. It's a feast for all of us, and it's a feast for the whole world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.